We're the home of Big Z Sports. 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. Don't forget, if you want to participate in the program tonight, you can jump on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. We have our Facebook poll or our Big Z Sports poll up there presented by Parkway Auto Superstore in Dover. You can follow us on Twitter at @big_Z Sports. And, of course, you can text us on the Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399. Guys, we have a fun show tonight. We're in the All-Star break of the NBA, so we got all that to look forward to. We're going to talk about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, get into our favorite memories of the dunk contest and three-point shooting out and the game itself when they play no defense. But it'll be a fun weekend for the NBA. But we also got to talk about high school sports from the past week. There was a big game that we were at. I believe that was Tuesday, if I remember correct.
Yeah, it's been a long week, but yeah, it was Tuesday.
It's been a really long week, but we're going to have an interview with Garaway girls basketball coach Dave Shutt, an interview with Tuskegee Valley girls basketball coach Matt Ward. They both will join us to talk about their team season and their tournament run coming up. We're going to talk with Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati to talk NFL, college basketball.
And future Browns quarterback.
Browns quarterback. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about the boys' IVC showcase taking place at Claymont High School tomorrow. Going to be a fun day of basketball there. And of course, we'll have some news and notes on the Daytona 500. Some more college basketball and whatever else we want to talk about. The Olympics, maybe? And Pyeongchang?
Medal count, yeah.
Yes, the medal count.
We'll have that somewhere. And of course, Pyeongchang.
That big game last night where one of our favorite teams did not show up, and the only two losses they have all year in the Big Ten to the same team.
But they're still in first place.
They are.
That's all that matters. Joe, you mentioned our polls, which are up right now on social media. WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, @big_Z Sports on Twitter. There's a handful of polls, all driven by the Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore there in Dover. First one has to do with All-Star Weekend, as do most of them, all of them. Which event do you prefer, slam dunk contest or three-point contest? Get on there and vote. Also, we want to hear your predictions for the three-point contest and slam dunk contest tomorrow. All the contestants are up. And who's going to win, Team LeBron or Team Steph?
How about depleted Team LeBron or Team Steph?
You're right, because LeBron had all them guys that were hurt.
Didn't he have like four guys from the original team get hurt?
Yeah, you're
season-ending injuries, I think.
Porzingis, Cousins, I don't know who else was on that roster. But those questions are up, and you can vote. And, of course, when we get into that topic, the NBA later on, that's when we'll dive into all those questions.
Yeah, good job. Thank you for posting those.
No, thank
you. Good stuff.
Hey, also, you know what we have tonight? Excuse me. Some tickets to see the Canton Charge Family 4-Pack. And there will be a slam dunk contest trivia question. I don't want to ask you guys yet because I don't want you to cheat and look it up. Because I know Joe over there, he likes to type stuff in, and every time we ask a question,
we hear him typing.
I know,
all the time.
But we'll ask that later in the 7 o'clock hour. You guys will have a chance to win some tickets to see the Canton Charge.
All right, let us get our minds going on that. How far back are you going?
Just give us that. The '80s.
Okay, cool. That's before you.
Nice. Yes, actually, we'll go back to the year before I was born.
84.
So. Good job. Good memory on you.
Hey,
I'm not saying
anymore.
I can't
wait to get in to talk about that. There's so many great moments that happened in that in the All-Star weekend when we were growing up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's totally not like it was back then. You know,
even the whole format change now.
Yeah,
I was
asking you yesterday, what is the rookie sophomores? You're like, no, they don't do that anymore.
Team USA versus the world, and it's
competition. They used to have dribbled and all that good stuff.
It's not your father's All-Star game, I'll say that. Yeah, they've changed things up a little bit.
Well, since we're all fathers, we can say that.
Yeah,
it is our father. Well, no, but anyway, we got a lot of high school action to get to. Obviously, Tuesday night, we'll recap the past week in high school basketball on boys' and girls' side. And other sporting events, bowling. I know we had some teams go to, I believe it was regionals, I think. We'll talk about that, get the information for that as well. But we got some interviews, like I mentioned. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, and Chris will have his high school sports report. You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9.
This is Chuck Rest, Commissioner of the IVC. For the best area high school sports coverage, listen to WTUZ Big Z Sports.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios, and we're live on Facebook. Check us out, WTUZ Big Z Sports. You can watch us do the show live.
Well, they can watch me do the show because you two are cut off.
Does that mean Mary's on Facebook Live?
Mary's on Facebook.
Hold on, wait. I have to go see. She's freaking out over there. That's
hey,
funny.
You can only see part of Joe because he won't stand up.
Sorry.
Listen,
I have a sore back and right butt cheek for some reason.
Mary, you're okay. You can't be seen on Facebook Live. But if you want to come join us, you can. Mary Alice over in the newsroom. Working hard over there. Overtime. It's after 6.
It better not be overtime.
Go home, girl. Company can't afford that.
Of course, our beautiful Big Z Sports
banner.
That's why I'm sitting down so they can see it.
Yeah, Chris, you should have angled that a little different. I'm looking at Facebook.
Well,
although,
I couldn't have angled it much more.
Hold on. This is totally unprofessional. I'm going to click on the video. Yeah, you can kind of see it a little. You can kind of see it. Good right there when it's full screen.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay. Don't forget, if you want to participate in the program, jump on our Facebook
page. He rips on me, then he tells me good job.
WTUZ, Big Z Sports. Follow us on Twitter at @big_Z Sports. And, of course, if you want to send us a text from a game you're at tonight, a picture of a game warming up or whatever, a nice play that you got on a picture, send it to the Weaver Appliance text line 330-339-9399. And high school sports were in full effect this past week, and we were actually a part of one of the games on Tuesday, and for once in about 10 years, right?
Yeah, somewhere close to there. It's close to 10 years.
Since Big Z Sports has done high school play-by-play basketball, and we got back in the saddle. Chris Kale, great job on that on Tuesday night. Eric, great job on the sidelines, getting all the exclusive interviews and first interviews of the night. We appreciate your hard work down there.
Anytime.
Yes, and right now Chris has our high school sports report, and followed by that, we're going to talk to Garaway basketball coach Dave Schutt.
All right, the high school sports report for the 16th of February. 2018. Of course, like you said, Joe, in a game that you heard right here on 99.9 WTUZ, Big Z Sports was there. Dover handed state-ranked Indian Valley its second loss in a row with a dominating 54-31 win. Cade Rusiger was named our Big Z Sports player of the game. He had 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Of course, Nick Millender had 14 and Shamar Morton 12 off the bench as Dover's bench outscored Indian Valley 28-0.
I just want to throw this out there. Cade, sorry, buddy. It wasn't unanimous, but you did win our Big Z Sports player of the game.
Way to add more controversy to that. By the way, did Indian Valley, just my opinion, from the start of that game, did they not play tight?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I think the physicality and the no calls kind of threw them off their game.
They weren't hitting shots from the get-go. Anytime they went down low, I mean, who was it? Whitman?
Yeah.
Just blocking shots left and right in that first quarter and set the tone. And it was tough after that for Indian Valley.
Yeah, it was a very physical game. It was a well-played game. And, of course, you know, later on in the game, Dover used their strategy and played things out. And it was just, tell you what, people can say what they want, but Bob Von Kennel, another one of those coaches in our area.
The Kennel Crazies. That's what they call him there.
And BVK, he's one of the best coaches this area has ever seen. He's been doing it for a long, long time at Dover and at Tuskegee Valley when he started his career. And kids love playing for him. And, you know, I told you the one time, so you better watch out. You might get hit with a chair. I'm used to him wearing that jacket coat, and it usually comes off sometime in the first quarter. Well, he didn't. He had like a jumpsuit or a pull up on.
Well,
and he couldn't take it off.
I'm sure he didn't have a pull up.
Well, or a pullover, I mean.
Now we had that exclusive interview with him after the game, right after the game when it went final.
You heard it here first.
That's right. You did, exactly. I tried to get a just funny story. I tried to get him at halftime, right? So I walk up to him and I go, "Coach, two questions." And he goes, looks at me dead in the face and goes, "Go get another coach." I go, "All right, we'll see you in the second half, everybody."
Yeah, that's.
But
I mean,
no, it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's it. I thought that, you know, the stuff that you did on the sidelines was exceptional. Joe, you were right there the whole time, had great stats all night.
I was excited for both teams, though, you know.
I thought
no bias whatsoever.
No, none.
I don't know. I heard a little excitement come out of Chris when Dover would hit a big three or something. I heard it a little bit.
If we would have got a big three out of Indian Valley, you would have heard it there too. But they didn't hit many.
Not like Dover.
Though. Oh,
the thing is, we talk about the physicality from that game on Tuesday night that we broadcasted, but. That's two games in a row, though, that the Braves' offense has really struggled, held under 40 points, and obviously those two, the first two losses of the season.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens against Strasburg tomorrow night, but we'll get into that. Of course, Dover improves to 13-6 as Indian Valley fell to 17-2. Connor McGuire led the Braves with 13 points. Andy Miller put up a season-high 20 points as Highland defeated Garraway 56-31, and that streak is over. They snapped a six-game losing streak to the Pirates. The Hawks improved to 16-5, 10-2 in the IBC, and the Pirates dropped to 14-6, 9-3, and they were led by Ethan Roden with 16 points. Eric, your late blue streaks.
Yes.
They took care of New Philadelphia in handily fashion.
Yeah, this game was actually that makeup game that was supposed to be a couple weeks ago. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. They won 58-33 as the Blue Streaks outscored the Quakers 22-6.
LAKE.
In the second and third quarters, Nate Vole led to the Quakers with 17 points as New Philly drops to 13-6. Lake improves to 16-3.
Well, you just mentioned Lake and Dover. Really, if Dover wins their first round tournament game, Lake will be their next opponent after that.
Absolutely, and that will be at a neutral site. But the first game, Dover will host Austintown Fitch.
Yeah, shouldn't be an easy... I mean, I think it'll be a good game, but it's not going to be a first-round, basically, bye for Dover.
No, I think it'll be a good game, but I'll tell you what, hopefully the Kennel Crazies are crazy that night because they're going to need them. Strasburg got by East Canton 39-24 as Andrew Cregan put up 14 points. Mitch Niedenthal added 12. The Tigers improved to 19-1 and 11-1 in the IBC as they are set up for that big showdown with Indian Valley tomorrow night. Sandy Valley outraced Conotton Valley 91-68. Dan Bartholomew dropped in 26 points to surpass the 1,000-point mark.
Yeah, how many kids have done that this year? My Lord.
Pretty impressive out of our area. He also added 12 rebounds and 4 assists. And, of course, he broke the all-time school record for assists last week. He now has 275 and counting. The Cardinals improved to 16-4 and 9-3 in the IBC. Conotton Valley drops to 4-14 and 0-12. They were led by Ray Burdett with 28 points. Malvern bounced back, and they bounced Tuskegee Valley 67-34. Mark Maley had another double-double with 19 points and 11 rebounds. The Hornets improved to 12-7 and 7-5 as the Trojans dropped to 4-16 and 2-10. They were led by Jared Kenzel with 8 points. TCC over Fairless 45-44. Justin Peltz dropped 16 points to improve the Saints to 8-13. Fairless drops to 4-16. Ridgewood, they got by Newcomberstown 59-36 as Chase Griffith had 17 points. Zach Wright added 16 to improve the Generals to 8-13 and 5-7, while the Trojans dropped to 1-19 and 0-12 as Jamar Stearns paced them with 10 points. Salem over Carrollton 68-53. Worcester obliterated West Holmes 84-36. And then in boys action from Thursday, yesterday, Conotton Valley over Bellsville 79-39. Ray Burdett, 25 points, including 5 from 3-point range. Girls action from Wednesday, pretty cool deal here. Kiara Stewart dropped 24 as Tuskegee Valley routed Indian Valley 71-24. The Lady Trojans improved to 8-14 and 12-0 in the IBC, and Brendlin Rostad led the Lady Braves with 10. Of course, Kiara Stewart and Boston McKinney, they were honored with the three other members of Tuskegee Valley's 1,000-point club on the girls' side. Pretty cool deal, and you'll be able to hear that in our interview coming up a little bit later with their head coach.
Nice tease, Chris. Nice tease.
New Philadelphia destroyed Coshocton 96-10. Aaliyah Currents led the way with 22 points. The Lady Quakers jumped out 26-0 after one and have won 18 straight to finish 20-2 and 14-0 in the ECOL.
Aaliyah Currents actually scored the first 15 points of the game all by herself. So essentially,
Aaliyah beat
Coshocton 15-10.
But at the end, she had, what did I just say?
Yeah, she ended up 22.
So 22-10. Aaliyah Currents wins.
You're right. If you add those other stuff.
Right.
But she didn't need them.
Didn't need them, no.
Nor did the team.
No.
Anyway.
Still a sizable defeat, 22-10.
I mean, I agree with you. Garraway got by Perry 55-49. Sid Mullet with 14 to lift the Lady Pirates to 17-4. Claymont beat Newcomberstown 52-31. Milana Harmon tossed in 21, and Madison Garrett added 13. Jay Johnson led the Lady Trojans with 11. Strasburg beat Our Lady of the Elms 46-42.
Senior night.
Yeah,
it was senior night that night, yeah.
Our Lady of the Elms. I don't know where they are. Don't ask.
I'm going to look that up. Hold on.
Yeah, they're from the Elms. Alyssa Sims led the Lady Tigers with 12. Caldwell over Conotton Valley 42-35 as Kelsey Manbeck led the Rockets with 20 points. Of course, the IBC showcase at Claymont tomorrow night. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. 10 a.m., Newcomberstown takes on Conotton Valley, and then a game every 1 hour and 40 minutes after that. Claymont versus Tuskegee Valley, Buckeye Trail versus TCC, Ridgewood against Malvern, Garraway and East Canton, the Battle of the Twos at 6:20, Highland and Sandy Valley, and the game of the night at 8 o'clock, the Battle of the Ones, Indian Valley and Strasburg.
That's going to be one heck of a game there. Strasburg 19-1 overall, 11-1 in the IVC, and then, of course, Indian Valley 17-2 overall, and there are only two losses coming in the IVC. So,
well, no, because Dover's in.
Oh, sorry, you're right. The other night,
but
my bad.
That's all right.
The Our Lady of the Elms,
yes,
is in Akron.
Oh, there you go.
West Exchange Street, wherever that's at.
Listen,
that's
you don't want to go.
You don't want to go there. No,
that's where they're at.
So. I was just getting ready to say the same thing. It's down actually. That's close to probably close to campus.
Especially after dark, okay. You don't want to be there.
Right.
They were founded by the Sisters of St. Dominic in 1923.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks for that background info.
St. Vincent, St. Mary.
And it's $11,000 a year to go there.
All right. Well, thanks for that update. Yeah. Tonight's schedule, boys basketball. Cambridge travels to New Philadelphia. Dover travels to Coshocton. Ashland at West Holmes. Carrollton at Salem. Triway at Fairless. Conotton travels to Monroe Central in the OVAC tourney. Consolation bracket. The girls, Strasburg at Newcomberstown, varsity only, and Highland hosts Ridgewood. And of course, swimming Division I districts at Ohio University. So that is your high school sports report for the 16th of February.
And I do tell you this, we had Joe Geckler catch up with Coach Shutt from Garraway earlier. I was surprised during your high school sports report, the Garraway girls game, his daughter had like 11 or 12 points in that game, which I thought you were going to mention, but you did not. It's all good. It's all good.
Wow. So, all right, I see how that's going to go tonight.
No, I was just saying, it's all good.
No, I'm just messing. All right.
Anyway, hey, transition us into this interview. It's Coach Shutt from Garraway. Joe was able to catch up with him earlier, although Chris was supposed to get into it.
Thanks for that update, Chris. It's now time to welcome in Garraway's girls basketball coach, Dave Shutt. Coach, congratulations on a great season so far. Obviously, the tournament's getting ready to start, but thanks for taking time to join us here on the Big Z Sports Show. And 17-4 are your Garraway girls, and 11-2 in the IVC. Talk to us about your team a little bit.
You know, we were like at the beginning of the year, beginning of the season, preseason, you know, in the summer, we were really excited about this group because we thought they could be, you know, a solid group. We returned quite a few lettermen and several girls that have been playing, you know, at the varsity level for 4 years. That would be Sydney Mollett, Haley Shutt, and Maddie Steiner. And then we had some really upcoming kids from last season, Zoe Johnson and Callie Regulaw. Then we threw in like Ashton Gerber, Sarah Beachy, Michaela Miller, Morgan Metzger. And, you know, we really did. We felt they really worked hard over the summer. And we thought, you know, if all goes well, we could have a solid season. And, you know, so far we're enjoying what we're doing. You know, I think they're always willing to work to get better. And, you know, like you said, Monday or this week starts tournament time, and it's really exciting time of the season, and they're I think they're keyed up for that.
Well, Coach, if we rewind a little bit, let's see, take our brain back to December, if we can remember back that far. You had some big wins early on in the season, a big win over Tuskegee Valley, who turned out to have a great season this year. You knocked them off 47-38. You got by Fairless and Tuslaw and Malvern, who's having a great year with Kelsey Hewlett, and then Maslin Perry recently, you knocked them off as well. But that's some big wins for your program.
Yeah, it is. Last year I talked with our athletic director, and we said we'd like to, you know, challenge the girls and make our schedule, you know, a tough one, because knowing, you know, if you do put yourself in those situations throughout the regular season, hopefully it pays benefits down the road for the tournament. yeah, those were some key wins. And, you know, we lost some games, too, to some really quality opponents. You know, Highland was twice the second time around. We played them for 3.5 quarters pretty evenly. We played Cardington Lincoln, who at the time still are, you know, ranked, and that we lost to them in overtime. And then Carrollton, which is a Division II school, we played on the road up there, and it wasn't our greatest game, but, you know, we competed. They knew they were going to be good. So we wanted to try to challenge them a little bit this, you know, this season, put them in some tough, difficult situations and see how we would compete. And, you know, for the most part, we really have.
You know, Coach, looking over some stats from your team and just looking at things before I started the interview, I noticed that something that you pride yourself on, as I can see as a coach, is your defense. And something stuck out to me in this is 24.5 turnovers per game is what your defense is forcing on the opponent. That is incredible. What are you doing defensively to force that many turnovers?
Well, you know, like you say, we do try to pride ourselves in that. You know, we try to keep, you know, things, little things that are important. Like, we'll track deflections at practice and in games. And I think the kids kind of feed off of that. You know, they're saying, hey, did I get one? Did I get one? One of those things. And, you know, a lot of times if a deflection, if you don't get a steal, that's what you hope for. Deflection leads to a steal to ease the offense. But, you know, I think it's a tribute to our kids. You know, they're fairly athletic, quick, and, you know, getting passing lane well and anticipate well. And it's by committee. It's everybody. Like I said, they kind of bought into that. And, you know, it is a thing. It is a strength of our team. And sometimes that's, you know, with pressure, sometimes it's just in a half court set, just being able to, you know, anticipate and get in those passing lanes.
You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're talking with Garraway girls basketball coach Dave Shutt. And coach, you know, you mentioned tournament time is coming up next week. You start preparing for that. But tomorrow night on Saturday, kind of a bittersweet night for you. It's senior night for the Garraway girls. And one senior in particular, your daughter Haley, will be playing her final home game in the regular season for the Garraway Pirates. Also have a few other seniors that you would like to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that group, you know, with my daughter being in that class growing up, you know, seeing these kids over the years kind of, you know, grow and develop to who, you know, they are today, it's going to be kind of hard. You know, my one assistant, Coach Mullett, his daughter is a senior too, and, you know, he's helped me coach for a variety of years. Maddie Steiner's our other one, and Michaela Miller, all, you know, put time in and work hard at the game. Like I said, like you said, it is going to be bittersweet because it's the last regular season game that we can, you know, cherish that moment. But really excited for them, proud of them for, you know, what they have done and how much work they've put into this thing.
Well, Coach, let's talk about the tournament real quick. I know you got a game tomorrow night, but let's look ahead at the tournament. You're the number 2 seed in Division 3, the East Region. You're going to play number 15, Newcomerstown. That game is actually going to be at home on the 21st, which is next Wednesday. Talk to us what you expect from the Trojans.
You know, we've played them twice in the regular season. You know, they present, you know, a little bit of problems too, but defensively I thought you know, both games we held our own defensively, you know, limited some of their scores who are scoring for them, you know, under what they probably would average. You know, I just hope defensively we can do the job. I know they've been kind of unfortunate. They've had a lot of kids banged up this season with injuries and things like that. But, you know, every game it's one game at a time. You know, obviously you don't try to overlook anybody throughout the tournament. You know, you hope you'll be playing well. You hope you have a little bit of luck on your side and, you know, just take it one game at a time.
And, Coach, if you look ahead just real quick to the second round, your possible opponent, if you can get past Newcomerstown, number 6 Morgan against number 14 West Muskingum. If you guys win against Newcomerstown, you will have another home game as well against one of those two teams. Do you know much about Morgan or West Muskingum?
Yeah, I know quite a bit about Morgan. We've actually seen them play a couple times, and, you know, they're guard-oriented. They're a little bit like us. You know, they like to drive, penetrate the kick. They have some really good shooters. They have one girl that set the all-time three-point record at their school. So, you know, obviously being able to win, you know, like your one-on-one battles and keep those guards from penetrating and closing out on their shooters is going to be, you know, kind of that's their MO. That's what they're really good at. So, you know, like we said, you know, one at a time and prepare for each team. Like, you know, every game is that important because it is.
And coach, if you look at the bracket, the Division III East region for the girls, probably one of the toughest brackets in the whole state of Ohio. If you look at some of the other higher seeds in the bracket, of course, you have number one Highland, who moved up from Division IV this year to play in Division III. You have Bel Air at number three. You have Tusky Valley at number four, who you've already beat once this year. Buckeye Trail at number five, who you beat already. And of course, number seven, Sandy Valley, who's in your conference. But that's a tough bracket to be in for the Division III girls East region.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's a meat grinder, really. I mean, if you think about it, up in our top bracket, you have, you know, fair, or, you know, one, two, three, four very quality opponents. And then down below, too, there's not a whole bunch, you know, there's some really quality teams down there. And as you mentioned, it is a tough one. So, you know, whoever comes out of this, you know, East District tournament, I mean, they're going to definitely be prepared for the regional, because they're going to be playing some good teams, and some of those teams that are playing and facing off are sectional final games, which is really hard to believe, but you know, it is. There's quality opponents in that whole bracket.
Well, coach, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and in preparation for your senior night tomorrow night to visit here with us on the Big Z Sports Show, and we wish you nothing but the best tomorrow night and through your run in the tournament. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
All right, Joe, always a pleasure, and thanks for you know, covering us and, you know, doing the things that you guys do, too.
Our pleasure. We appreciate it. And, again, good luck with the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That was Garraway basketball coach Dave Shutt joining us here on the Big Z
good
Sports
stuff,
Show.
Right there.
As we talk girls high school basketball, and of course, Chris did our high school report coming up right before that interview. Still to come tonight. Later on, we're going to talk to Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW with the latest in the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college basketball. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little Tusky Valley girls basketball. We're going to be joined by Matt Ward, the girls basketball coach, and talk to him about his team's success and the success in the tournament run they have coming up. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Follow us on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kao, and Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. Don't forget, if you want to play along in the program, you can like us on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Follow us on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. And, of course, the all-new Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399. Big thank you to Garraway basketball coach Dave Shutt for joining us last segment to talk about the Garraway girls basketball season so far. And it's now our privilege to welcome in Tusky Valley head basketball coach Matt Ward. Coach, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show. We appreciate you taking time out of your off night on a Friday. You get to spend some time with the family, but first we'll talk a little Tusky Valley Trojans girls basketball. You guys are 18-4 on the season, undefeated in the IVC. You started off the season 1-1 way back at the end of November. You beat Dover, then you lost to Garraway in a non-conference game, so to speak, but then you reeled off 10 straight. Talk to us about your season from the beginning to now.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for having me on the show tonight. Definitely looking forward to talking to you guys. I mean, coming into the season, we had a lot of our girls back from last year. So, you know, we had confidence that we were going to have a pretty strong year this year. And just coming out of the gates, we always get a little bit of a slow start with volleyball. I mean, we are lucky to have multiple programs at our school that have been very strong. And volleyball, you know, reached the state semifinals this year and, you know, gets us off to a little bit of a slow start. And obviously right out of the gates, we had Garraway game two. And it doesn't matter if it's early in the year or late in the year, that was going to be a tough game. And that was a game where, honestly, we did not do a very good job of taking care of the basketball that day, and they made us pay for it from the beginning to the end. And then after, you know, getting, you know, a little more time under our belts, I felt like we settled into some of the roles on this basketball team of what we needed and just gained confidence, because we have a lot of youth on our bench. You know, we have an outstanding trio of seniors in Boston McKinney, Kira Stewart, and Jenna Franks, but I also have five sophomore, you know, combined five sophomores and freshmen that also play. So we needed to get their feet wet as well.
Coach, if you look at your team, if you look at a couple stats that stand out to me as I look at your team stats going down the list here, you guys get almost 19 steals a game on defense, and you're forcing almost 26 turnovers a game. Those are outstanding defensive stats.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, as the last couple years have gone along, we've really tried to increase the kind of our pressure as a program. You know, when I first started, we did a lot more just basic half-court, man-to-man, and we didn't do a ton of trapping and a lot of full-court stuff. But we feel like, you know, especially with these last couple years, we've had the athletes to kind of extend the game, you know, the full length of the floor. And, you know, we want to create opportunities with our defense from the start to the finish. And I think these girls really enjoy playing that way, and we've excelled at it.
Well, Coach, I want to tell you that first and foremost, I think that you guys have had an outstanding season. Congratulations on that, of course. And what you guys did the other night in honoring all 5,000-point scorers on the ladies' side of Tuskegee Valley, I thought that was really awesome. And to have two of those five playing for you this year, being seniors in Kiara Stewart and Boston McKinney, how special are those three seniors, and those two, including Jenna Franks? You know, how important are they to your basketball team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other night was definitely a special night, and it was nice to see some, you know, former player of mine in Tessa Bahovey too, and then an old veteran in Holly Rhodes, you know, as far as what they added to the program, along with my assistant coach Danny Wallach. She is, you know, been a great addition to our staff. But, you know, our three seniors, I mean, I had them in class at school. You know, I teach sixth grade math, so, you know, I've known these girls a long time, and then coming up through our youth program into middle school. And then as freshmen, all three of them at different points were inserted into the starting lineup and have played a lot of basketball. And, you know, the two that broke 1,000 with Kiara and Boston, I mean, it is unusual to have two girls like that that can complement each other and not take away from each other. And they play so well together. And then Jenna's like our glue, you know, where she is not the type that is looking to score unless we really need her to. I mean, she is definitely one that was capable of scoring a lot more in her career, but she fits so well with those other two. And the three, they've got a really high basketball IQ. They're hard workers, and they're just great, great girls overall.
Hey, Coach, what's kind of been the key for you guys this season, and then what do you guys need to do well in order to have some success here in tournament time?
I mean, when we played our best, it's definitely been, you know, the intensity on the defensive end. When we're locked in and focused on that end of the floor, I don't care how much we can score the ball. That's what I feel like definitely is going to take us the farthest. I feel like, you know, rebounding the basketball is coming into this season was something that we needed to really focus on, and it's something that has bit us a little bit in some of our bigger games this year. We struggled a little bit with it out at Highland last week when we played them, and it's something that, you know, we have to make a conscious team effort to do a better job and limiting, you know, teams to one opportunity, because we're not the biggest group. We can overcome that, but we have to check out and we have to get rebounds.
Well, Coach, if you look at the tournament coming up, you have your first tournament action on Wednesday the 21st. Your team gets another home game, which is really cool. You take on the 13-seed Martins Ferry. What do you expect from them on Wednesday, and how are you going to approach that game? Obviously, you're going to turn around. If you win that game, you're going to turn around and play Saturday. So how do you approach this Martins Ferry game on Wednesday as another home game?
Yeah, I mean, it was exciting last year to get to do this at home. We got to play a couple at home last year as well, so we got that to experience that. But it's nice to get one more, at least at home, you know, and who knows if there's an upset with the other game. But we are going to play a team in Martins Ferry that is young. They definitely have some athleticism, and, you know, when we've seen them, they've wanted to, you know, definitely pressure teams full court as well to try to cause them, you know, into some mistakes. So we have to be ready for that. And we just got to come out with the right mindset and, you know, just do what we do. Play the way that we know we can play, and, It'll take care of that. You know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, I know it's all cliche with a coach, you know, one game at a time, but, you know, we got to take care of that first before we move on to that next game, whether it's Bel Air or Barnesville.
Coach, you know, I know that defense wins championships. You know that. I know that. Everybody that knows sports knows defense wins championships. And I'm sure that the way you guys are playing defense this year, that is going to be your key down the stretch in these tournament games, is as long as your kids box out, get rebounds, and play hard, good defense, you guys, I think, are going to have a great shot at it continuing to advance through this tournament and getting down to Columbus, hopefully, here in another 6 weeks.
Oh yeah, I mean, I it's just tournament play always brings out, you know, that more aggressive physical style of play, you know, as you go farther and farther, and you know, teams are all scouting each other a ton. They know what, you know, each other's strengths are, what each other's weaknesses are. So you try to, you know, take certain things away from each other, and but you know, no matter if shots are going in or not, we just have to defend. We come out with that type of intense play, physical play that we are capable of. I mean, we're going to be just fine, and there's not a single team on our schedule that we don't believe that if we play our best, you know, we believe we can beat them.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy evening here on Friday night, joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show to talk about the Tuskegee Valley Trojans girls basketball team. We wish you nothing but the best of luck from here on out, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road.
I really appreciate you guys having me on tonight, and yeah, my family and I are looking forward to some little time with our girls tonight, so thank you very much.
Well, enjoy that time, and again, good luck on in the tournament run.
Thank you.
Again, that was Tuskegee Valley head basketball coach Matt Ward joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show. Guys, he has a good thing going there at Tuskegee Valley. The three seniors that he has, they're really going to be missed after this season. Boston McKinney and Kier Stewart and Jenna Franks.
One of the amazing stats in that interview you brought up was how many steals they average a game, 11 or something?
No, it was like 18.5.
Hold on, yeah. 18 and a half steals a game.
And they force 26 turnovers a game.
Almost 19 steals.
They should be charged with theft, probably.
I agree. But, you know, they're gonna have to find those leaders to come in next year and replace 2,000-point scorers and Jenna Franks, who Coach called their glue. Those three are going to be missed big time, and they're going to have to find those players to come in and really lead this team next year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, two 1,000-point scorers, you got to be pretty blessed and lucky as a head coach to have that. So.
Yes, he does. But still to come tonight, we're going to talk with Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati about the latest in the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college basketball. But coming up next segment, we're going to talk about the boys' IVC showcase tomorrow at Claymont High School. We'll have all the information for you about the event, and you can go enjoy a great day of high school basketball. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Follow us on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. And by the way, thanks, Rebecca, for allowing Eric to get out of the house tomorrow.
You're such a dork.
kitchen pass for the McElroy. Do you need to meet somewhere we can drive down together?
We're going to discuss this on air?
We'll discuss it.
All right. But you're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country. Not all people go to Burger King. Z Country 99.9.
You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're live from the Benchmark Construction Studios. Don't forget, if you want to participate in the program, jump on our Facebook page where we are live right now. If you want to watch our show on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Follow us on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. And, of course, this year you can text us, the Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399.
Love it when you talk about that text line. Also, you mentioned social media. Our polls are up. Brought to you and driven by the Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore there in Dover. All-Star Weekend, it's here. Which event on Saturday night is the best? Which one do you prefer, a three-point contest or slam dunk contest? You guys want an update right now on this? Because it's kind of shocking, really, to be honest with you. I almost voted for the three-point contest. Just the dunk contest the past handful of years, it's been garbage.
I agree.
But right now, it's 54% of you say the slam dunk contest over the three-point contest. Also, we want to know from you guys who's going to win the three-point and the slam dunk contest. All the contestants are up there, including one Cleveland Cavalier, although he's been a Cav for like a cup of coffee, 10 days or something. That's Larry Nance Jr. He's in the dunk contest. Also, they do things differently now. It's not East Coast versus West Coast. Tired of this East Coast West Coast feud. No, it's
okay,
team,
Biggie.
It's the team LeBron versus team Steph, of course, and then they
West Coast.
That's it, Joe. Yeah. There you go.
It's the East and West.
You're gonna get us all shot now, both of you, here in Tuscarawas County. Anyway, team Steph or team LeBron, you can vote on that as well. It's up on Facebook and on Twitter. And speaking of the dunk contest, next hour you guys will have a chance to win some tickets to the Canton Charge. All you have to do is answer a trivia question about the slam dunk contest. I'm leaving you guys in the dark, and I know you guys are, your wheels are turning right now. You're anxious.
I am.
I can't tell you yet.
Okay.
Can't
well,
ask
that's
you
not
yet.
Very fun.
I'm sorry.
All okay.
Right. We got the IVC Boys Showcase tomorrow at Claymont High School. Chris, I know you have the schedule of games to go over, and we'll go over those right now.
Absolutely, we will. And, of course, you can head down to Claymont High School. Gates open at 9 a.m., you can go down there and pay $6 and watch one game or all the games.
That's right.
If you want to pay for one game and then come back later, you can do that.
Didn't Chuck Press tell us last week $6 is essentially you're paying 86 cents a game?
Yeah, something like
that.
That's
pretty awesome.
So what he broke it down to. That's what it equivalates to. But it all starts at 10 a.m. Chris, like you said, doors open up at 9 a.m., but what a great list of games tomorrow.
Yeah, 10 a.m., we've got New Cumberstown versus Conotton Valley.
Yeah, New Cumberstown, 1-19, 0-12 on the season, and Conotton Valley, I don't have that record in front of me.
I've got it right here.
Conotton Valley is actually 5-14 overall.
Yes, and 0-12 in conference. Yes.
It'd be nice to see New Cumberstown maybe get their first IVC win in a little showcase action.
I agree. And then at 11:40, the host team, the Claymont Mustangs, take on the Tuskegee Valley Trojans.
And I don't have either one of those. I'm looking like while you're talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Let's see if I have them in
a well-oiled machine.
Yes,
here we are.
I'm pretty rusty. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, you have all that handy-dandy
I know, and I can't find anything.
Does anybody remember what I asked?
Tuskegee Valley is 4-16 and 2-10.
Did you remember what I asked?
I do. All you right. said you're going to be able to get those on the fly.
You're going to be able to receive, get those on the
Tuskegee
floor.
Tuskegee Valley is 4-16 and 2-10. There's your answer on that.
Thanks for that. Hey, at 1:20, though, and all these times are tentative. I mean, give or take a few minutes here or there, but 1:20, Buckeye Trail and TCC.
TCC is 8-13.
Yes.
Sweet.
I don't know what Buckeye Trail is. 3 o'clock, Ridgewood and the double-double machine, Mark Maley and Malvern.
Yeah. Ridgewood is 8-13.
Listen, I
want to
see him play. I can't make it to that one. We're going to the last three.
Yes.
I want to see that kid play, but I can't get there that early.
I know. I would like to see him play, too. And we heard that there was a time where he was being recruited by Clemson.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Eric's escape door out of his kitchen doesn't open until like 3:30.
Right.
Escape
door. So when the leash comes off.
When he goes upstairs and opens up the drawer.
Pretty much.
Okay. Moving on. At 4:40, the three seeds, Garraway versus the Hornets of East Kent.
Love how you said the Hornets. That's going to be a highly contested game, and really at that that game right there, the final three is when it really gets ramped up there at the IVC Showcase.
Yep, East Canton's 12-7, 8-4 in the IVC. Garraway is very similar to that. I think they're like 14-5, something like that.
Garraway is 14-6 and 9-3 in the IVC.
Very close, though, Joe, without looking.
I got that last loss out of my head because it was Highland. So you
right.
know.
And then at 6:20, the speaking number of two Highland. Seeds, the Highland Hawks and Dan Bartholomew, the assist machine, the 1,000-point score, and the Sandy Valley Cardinals.
We said Mark Maley is a double-double machine. Bartholomew, he's a double-double machine, but his comes in assist, though.
Yeah,
that's where
that
comes.
Kid is incredible.
Maley is the rebounder.
And Sandy Valley, 16-4, 9-3 in the IVC for the Cardinals. And Highland, I believe, is around the same thing.
Highland is actually 16-5 and 10-2 in the IVC.
See, I knew there was a 16-5. I just mixed them up with Garraway and Highland.
And like you said, Bartholomew, 275 assists and counting.
Yeah,
in his career.
I mean, he's a baller. The showcase dimes. Of all showcases on Saturday night at Claymont High School. Going to tip it around 8 o'clock, Chris.
8 o'clock. The number one seeds, Indian Valley, the Braves, and Connor McGuire, state-ranked.
Are they anymore, though?
Yes, I believe they are still. Well, the polls won't come out until after this game, so currently they're still fifth in Division Two.
Suffering two straight losses, offense been struggling. That's the Braves.
Need to rebound. Yeah, right, 17-2.
Hey, this I know. They're 17-2 overall.
Yes, they are. And, of course, they will take on.
Strasburg's 19-1.
They will take on the Tigers. The Eye of the Tigers from just up the road in Strasburg.
The Rocky Balboas?
The Rocky Balboas. Oh, okay. I guarantee you they will be playing Eye of the Tiger in the locker room.
They have to pay royalties on that? Dun, dun, dun. Is that why they couldn't pay their football coach and they had to pay royalties on that song?
Coach Pollock wanted to get closer to the
hole. Just kidding.
I know.
By the way,
great games, though, all the way through. And yeah. I love how the IVC does this because by pairing these teams off, it gives, you know, you're not having the one seed versus the eight seed or the 10 seed or whatever. These are games that each and every team can win, and it's exciting all the way through. So like we said, go down to Claymont High School. $6. You can watch one game. You can watch all the games, whatever you want to do.
You want to leave, get lunch, and go back. You can. They give you a little wristband. Yep. It's really kind of gets ready, gets all these teams ready for tournament action, which is really next week.
And these two will be there live on the scene, the final three games.
Yes.
I'll be expecting some Facebook Live updates. I will be watching.
Coming from the guy who doesn't want to go on his day off.
That I don't want to go.
I need a breather.
I need a break.
We all work 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Some of us more.
Some of us 160, but that's okay.
You chose to do it.
The government. Is Trump your boss, basically?
Yeah, technically.
I mean, he's everyone's boss. He's the commander in chief.
He is my president.
Yes, he's my president.
If he asks you to do something, you should probably do it.
Right.
And no matter who you work.
If he works, then I have to go to work.
You're right. Despite if you're getting paid or not.
Right, exactly. But so far, pay is good.
Good.
That's all I got to say.
I'm glad.
And I got 9 more years, and then I can tell whoever the commander-in-chief is to, adios, I'm out.
Right on. Okay. I should have been a firefighter. If the pay is good, get out of radio. Risk my life.
You're fine doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfy right now.
I bet he'd fall over if he had an oxygen tank on his back. You think he's strong enough to hold an oxygen tank on his back?
I would love to get you two to come up and partake in a training fire.
You want me
to
die of a heart attack?
No, you guys would have a blast.
Hey, I'll for real do it.
Yeah,
I'll do
I know you guys would have a blast. We do have people that come up and partake in that stuff. And it will open your eyes.
Give me about 6 months so I can try to get in shape.
Well, all you would have to do is go up there. Believe me, it gets hot enough. It's like a sauna. You will sweat.
Sweet.
6 months?
1,200, 1,400 degrees.
Sweet.
Yeah, you'd be okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW about the latest in the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college basketball. You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9. Z Country 99.9 WTUZ, Uricksville, New Philadelphia. Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We are live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. Again, big thank you to Dave Shutt from Garraway and Matt Ward from Tuskegee Valley. The girls' basketball coaches joined us in the 6 o'clock hour to talk about their upcoming tournament runs. But now we're going to switch gears and turn to the NFL and talk to our guy from Cincinnati, Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW. Mo, it's been a crazy week down there in Cincinnati, but let's get into the NFL real quick. AJ McCarron, he won his grievance against the Bengals, and now he's an unrestricted free agent. What does that mean for AJ McCarron, and could we expect him to come to Northeast Ohio?
Well, for AJ McCarron, it means he's going to get a chance to see what he's worth. The Bengals have always valued him as a backup quarterback, no more than that. They never drafted him with the idea that he was going to start. They've never really considered the possibility that he should start. He's He's always had a limit on his value here. He obviously wants a chance to show that he can be a starting quarterback in this league. And so for him, he now gets a chance to see what his market value is. How many teams are really interested? How much are teams willing to pay? How much are teams willing to maybe put to the side drafting a quarterback or signing someone who's more expensive because AJ's available? So for him, it's a chance for him to really explore what his open market value is. The obvious connection is to the Browns. The Browns nearly had a deal done with him, and so there's at least some level of interest between the organization and AJ. The obvious connection there is Hugh Jackson. You've got to think that Hugh would like someone that's been in his system before, who's a veteran, who can maybe bridge the gap between where they are now and where they want to go with a rookie quarterback. And it's not going to cost you a second and a third round pick. I mean, so to me, if you were going to give up a 2 and a 3, last fall, and now you don't have to do that, and the player is the same, then your interest should still be there, especially because he would probably be a bargain compared to what it would cost them to sign Kirk Cousins. And so, you know, this is going to be interesting because, you know, there's a lot of people here who would tell you they think that A.J. McCarron is better than Andy Dalton. I don't think that's the case. But we're finally going to get a chance to see if the rest of the NFL values A.J. McCarron as much as a lot of Bengals fans do.
Mo, are you one of those people that see that A.J. McCarron may be better than Andy Dalton?
No, there's nothing to suggest that he is.
Thank God.
A.J. McCarron will be lucky, extraordinarily lucky, if he has a career anything close to resembling Andy Dalton's. A.J. McCarron will be lucky if he plays 7 years as a starting quarterback in this league. A.J. McCarron was not regarded as a surefire, hand-him-the-gig starting quarterback when he was drafted out of Alabama. If you go back and you read scouting reports when he was drafted, you know, people acknowledged that there was an arm problem, but no one thought that was keeping him from being a guy who was going to be taken in the first round. He's been stuck behind Andy for the last 3 years. It's not like teams have gone out of their way to wrestle him away from the Bengals. He's not even the most highly regarded free agent quarterback now that he's hit free agency. And so that's not my evaluation. That's the NFL's evaluation. That's the Cincinnati Bengals evaluation. Look, AJ got a chance to play at the end of the 2015 season, and he played very, very capably. He did exactly what you're looking for a backup quarterback to do. He didn't screw things up. He helped them win some games. He helped them almost win a playoff game. But it's not like he lit the world on fire. It's not like he made mistake, you know, he played mistake-free football. No one seems to think that he's better or as good as Andy Dalton. And there's also not a very lengthy track record of quarterbacks who sat for years as backups and then came in and lit the world on fire. Now, can AJ be a reliable starting QB in this league? Sure he can. Can he be an upgrade from what a lot of teams have had? Yeah, I'll grant you that. But to suggest that he's going to be better than Andy Dalton or even as good, that's not based on anything. That's, I think for a lot of people, that's based on devaluing Andy Dalton, which is a pastime of a lot of people here, and understandably so. But I haven't heard anybody whose NFL opinion I really value that says that the Bengals were holding back a guy who would represent an upgrade from Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Mo, I don't think he's a franchise guy, AJ, that is. I think he's just more of a stopgap kind of player. And with that being said, I mean, listen, the Browns, we all know, just went 0-16, probably will draft a quarterback at number one. We all know the backup quarterback in Northeast Ohio is always the most popular person in town. Is this a place even AJ wants to come with all that being said?
I think it's a good question, because if you're him, you know, you're looking for solid ground, and in Cleveland, you know, number one, it's not like you're really going to be set up for success. Number two, they're probably going to draft a quarterback. We all know, you know, how impatient fans can be, and certainly how impatient fans in Cleveland should be. If AJ falters, people are going to want to see the guy they drafted. Ownership is probably going to want to see the guy they drafted. And so, yeah, I think you have to measure that if you're AJ McCarron. You know, I think if you're him, you're hoping the Denver Broncos show interest. You're hoping maybe the Jets show interest. But let's face it, it's not like AJ McCarron's going to go from backing up Andy Dalton to quarterbacking a playoff-ready team, he's going to go somewhere where he has a better chance to earn the starting job, or he's going to go somewhere where he's given the starting job and then he has a chance to show that he should keep it. All of that is more than he's getting here. But, no matter where he goes, it's very unlikely that he's going to be handed the keys to a franchise. He's going to be given more of a chance than he's been given in Cincinnati, and he's earned that chance. In Cleveland, you just wonder how much of a chance is that going to be, especially if Hugh Jackson's not there in 2019.
Mo, do you think that Cleveland still takes that quarterback at number one, and do you think now that Cincinnati takes a quarterback, since they're obviously going to be in need of a backup?
I think if you're the Browns, you have to take a quarterback. First of all, you have two of the top four picks. It's a quarterback-heavy draft. I guess this changes if they land Kirk Cousins, but if your free agency strategy is, well, let's just sign A.J. McCarron and not doing anything else, what are you doing? I mean, especially given how people feel about this class of quarterbacks, if you can get a guy who, you know, might not be there next year, the year after that, the year after that, the type of player, obviously not the the specific individual, you have to be able to do that. I don't think any smart team is just going to say, well, we'll sign A.J. McCarron and he's the guy. Now, if they can make a run at Kirk Cousins and overpay him and, you know, bring him in, you know, chances are they're not going to draft one. But just because you draft one doesn't mean you have to play him. He could obviously be a trade chip. But when you've gone on nearly two decades looking for your quarterback, I don't know why you wouldn't try to bring in as many people as possible. As for the Bengals, where I think it gets really interesting is a year from now, 2 years from now. Andy Dalton's a free agent in 3 years. He is playing on an exceptionally team-friendly deal. He's not going to be among the top 20 highest-paid quarterbacks in the league. If you're him, you're watching this going, wait a minute, Kirk Cousins is about to be the highest-paid player in the league? Jimmy Garoppolo just signed the richest contract in NFL history? I've done more than those guys. I think it's going to be really interesting because I think the Bengals are going to be at a bit of a crossroads where what's going to intersect is what Andy represents, which is stability. And that's going to intersect with the Bengals being unwilling to overpay anybody, even their best players. So what do? I think the answer there is you're first going to look internally. Well, to do that, you have to have someone waiting in the wings. Why not start now? That doesn't mean use the 12th overall pick on a quarterback, but I do think it means being open-minded to taking someone, drafting someone who ultimately might replace Andy Dalton. That doesn't mean they Andy Dalton. It doesn't mean that they might replace him this year, but I think you have to start thinking down the road when Andy's 33 years old and he has a chance to hit free agency for the first time. He's probably not going to settle for a team-friendly deal. If you're the Bengals, are you willing to overpay him when his play probably isn't going to get much better? You protect yourself if you have someone waiting in the wings, and it comes back to the quality of this year's quarterback class. If you feel like there's one there who can, in the short term, serve as the backup, but also maybe down the road potentially replace Andy, I really think you got to think about taking him.
You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're talking to Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati. A little NFL talk right now. Mo, you talked about the 12th pick overall with the Bengals. I know where they're going to go with this pick, but what do you think the Bengals do with the 12th pick in the draft?
Well, you know, for a lot of fans, it's going to be offensive line, and understandably so, because they've got to get better up front. But the Bengals don't take players in the first round just because they need a certain position. They take the best player off the board, and it doesn't matter, you know, where that guy plays. This is a team that took cornerbacks in 2 out of 3 years in the first round. And even though they had, you could argue, a little bit of a surplus, they took tight ends 2 times in 3 years in the first round. So, you know, I don't necessarily think just because you see the biggest weakness last year being offensive line that means they're going to take an offensive lineman. I think when you look at the draft as a whole, that's going to be the first area they really want to target. Marvin Lewis has gone out of his way to say that, and they only have so much money to spend in free agency. They've got to get better up front. So it stands to reason that the draft is the first place they're going to go. I think they could actually go in a number of different directions. Look, they had the worst offense in the league last year. There's one reliable pass catcher under contract right now in A.J. Green. They obviously took John Ross last year. They have no idea what he is. They drafted Tyler Boyd in the second round 2 years ago. I think his season was a bit of a disappointment. Tyler Eifert's a good bet to leave in free agency. How do you replace what he is supposed to be? On the defensive side of the ball, they've got to get more athletic at linebacker. That's a position that they typically haven't valued all that much, and I think it's kind of caught up to them. And you can't have enough defensive linemen, especially with the way Terrell Austin wants to run his defense, and so it wouldn't surprise me if they go that route either. The draft as a whole, they need to get better on the offensive line, but I don't read too many people who are nuts about this class of linemen, and so I don't think that means that they're going to draft an offensive lineman with the 12th pick overall.
Mo, yesterday the NFL announced their five finalists for the 2019-2020 NFL draft locations. Cleveland, Canton area got one. Tennessee, Kansas City, Denver, and Las Vegas are the other four finalists. Your thoughts on kind of if you think they come to Canton and Cleveland, or where do you think they go with these draft locations?
I don't know where they're going to go, but I will say that the way it was staged in Philadelphia last year was really, really cool. It was more of a television show. They got fans involved. Roger Goodell got booed, which, I mean, who could be opposed to that? I don't know where they're going to go, but I like the fact that they've taken it out of the theater in New York City and they've moved it around. Chicago 2 years ago, Philadelphia last year. I don't necessarily ever want to see it here in Cincinnati just because that's going to screw up my commute, but but the way they did it, I really thought it was kind of cool. And you know, I think it'd be kind of cool if it kind of bounced around from city to city, you know, around the NFL, and maybe even go to cities that don't have NFL teams and give them a taste of the National Football League.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mo. It is going to bounce around for a while, sort of like they do the Super Bowl city. And don't think for 1 second the NFL isn't somehow profiting off of this from all these cities. You know darn well that they are.
Of course they are.
Well, Mo, you know, if it comes to Canton, you have a place to stay at my place.
Oh, great. Awesome.
And we're going to get into a little college basketball now and talk to you a little bit. The UC Bearcats lost last night 67-62 at Houston. Your thoughts on the Bearcats in that game? Their offense kind of stayed in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, when you miss 11 straight threes and you don't offensively rebound the ball, you're going to lose. I think in a vacuum, that loss is no big deal. They went on the road and played a desperate team, badly in need of a really, really good win against the top five team, and just didn't play well and lost. And so, you know, on the surface, that's not a big deal. I think what it did is it just illustrated the fears that a lot of UC fans have, which is when they play good teams away from their home arena, if the offense comes to a stall, which it did last night, what's going to happen? Can they score against really good teams? Houston's not a really good team. They might be in the NCAA tournament. They've had a good year in the American Athletic Conference, but can they score against really good teams? Can they get shots off? Can they run effective half-court offense? If not, can they offensively rebound the ball? And until they do that consistently against quality opponents, especially when they're not playing at home, those questions are always going to linger. And that's very fair because it's caught up to them in the tournament before, and it caught up to them last night.
Well, Mo, the four words that baseball fans like to hear this time of year, pitchers and catchers reported. Are you excited?
Best four words in sports, absolutely. It means spring is almost here. Probably also means the Reds are going to lose 90 more times.
Mo, I thought that the best four words in sports were, gentlemen, start your engines.
Oh, my God.
It could be. I guess if you
I
like
thought you hung up there.
Sure. But now, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines?
No.
That's five words.
Well, Mo, we appreciate you taking time out to join us here on the Big Z Sports Show like you do very often. And we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, anytime.
Yep, that's Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati, talking NFL, college basketball, baseball, and NFL draft. You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Joe Geckner here on your Big Z Sports Show on Z Country.
You almost said minute.
I did. Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Just trying to be like Chris Kale.
I'm not talking anymore tonight. I'm going home.
So wait, this can go off then? Can mic 2 go off? No, I'm just
You
kidding.
Can just stop talking, let the music run on then. See? There it goes. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios, and we're a little slap happy. We've had a good night here tonight, having fun with Chris, and it's gonna be all right, Chris.
Well, who didn't I get yelled at by today? Jared didn't yell at me.
I didn't yell at you. I don't yell.
Eric did.
I don't
Greg
yell.
Did.
I don't
Dude, Greg Joe got did. Or Greg got me a couple times this week. Jared got me today. Scolded. Looks could kill. I wouldn't be here right now. Wow. That's basically how
the only one who hasn't yelled at me yet today is Joanne and Shauna. And Shauna wasn't here. She's on vacation. So.
She texted me and said, "What the heck is Chris doing?"
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure she did. Hey, social media, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, at @big_Z Sports on Twitter. We have our poll questions up, brought to you and driven by the Parkway Ford and Lincoln Auto Superstore there in Dover. You like that? Okay, well, one of the questions, which after our college b-ball segment here, we'll get into all this stuff for All-Star Weekend. Slam dunk contest or three-point contest? Go vote on that. Also, chime in on who you think will win the three-point and slam dunk competition. Posts are up for that. And the last one, who's going to win? Team LeBron or Team Steph?
LeBron,
I mean, come on now. Although half his team's kind of hurt right
wow,
now.
Oh, look at this.
I know, the celebrity thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But we'll get into all that stuff after our college hoops segment. You guys ready for it?
Absolutely.
College hoops. We'll go back to Tuesday first before we get into the Buckeyes debacle from last night. It was really upset city last night. But Tuesday in the MAC, Kent State, they fell to Buffalo. Buffalo's first in the MAC East, by the way. Final 84-72. Ohio at Toledo. Toledo's first in the MAC West. But the Bobcats fell 82-74. Akron, they lost to Ball State 90-77. So a horrible night for all the Ohio MAC schools, including Miami of Ohio, Joe, who lost by one to Eastern Michigan. Come on, losing to a team in Michigan. Miami
you
of
know
Ohio.
Where Eastern Michigan is located?
The eastern part of the state.
Do you know what city?
No, I don't.
Chris?
No.
Ypsilanti.
Well, there thanks for that.
Ypsilanti, Michigan?
I could have went throughout the rest of the evening without knowing that.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all good.
Do you know where the Michigan International Speedway is located? Tecumseh. Just outside of Tecumseh. It's actually in Brooklyn, but it's just outside of Tecumseh, Michigan. You know what?
Do I need to dump that? Are you allowed to say that? Should I dump that?
Tecumseh? Tecumseh, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they make Tecumseh engines, the little two-cycle engines. I used to have one on my go-kart. I know. Interesting.
Anyway, hey, Wednesday night in college basketball action, Xavier, they beat Seton Hall, a high-scoring game, 102-90. Trevon Blewett had 37 points.
He didn't blow it?
In that game, he certainly did not. Miles Powell from Seton Hall, he had 30. Villanova, wow, they've been struggling. They lost their number one ranking. They may fall even further in the rankings. They lost to Providence, 76-71. Now, last night, the Buckeyes falling to Penn State again, Chris, for the second time this year, and that's really the only two losses in the Big Ten for Ohio State.
Yeah, number 8, Ohio State's only loss in the Big Ten was to one team, and that team has now beat them twice. Of course, the first time it was on a buzzer beater. This time it was just a beating.
Yeah.
They lost 79-56. C.J. Jackson had 13 points, and KDB had 10. Those are the only two players in double figures for the Buckeyes. And, of course, Tony Carr, he messed around and got off, had 30 points for Penn State.
He didn't mess around and get a triple-double?
No, but he was raining.
And, of course,
raining.
Yeah, well, Carr, of course, is the dude who hit that buzzer beater back on January the 25th. That game for the Buckeyes last night, they just want to scrap it, the film from it, throw it in the garbage.
It's kind of like the Iowa football game for the Buckeyes.
Does it simply come down to one team made shots and the other team didn't?
I mean, I thought they were just outclassed altogether. I mean, well, Penn State ran them off the floor, period. I mean, they were down terrible early in the first half. There's 10 minutes ago in the first half, they were down by like 15.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
they had nothing.
The Buckeyes weren't run off the court. They were just cold shooting from the floor.
38%.
They got in a hole.
Two of 15 from three-point land.
They were lazy. It was bad, but they fall to 22-6. 13-2, still lead the Big Ten, but they've got a tough row to hoe, and it starts on Sunday with number 22 Michigan up in Ann Arbor. So my question to both of you is, with Michigan, Indiana, and Rutgers left, does Ohio State win the Big Ten?
That's a tough call right there. I don't know, to be honest with you. Because the other night I saw Joe Lunardi. He had his bracketology out, right, and he was looking at the Big Ten. He actually gave Purdue a one seed, which I don't think is happening now.
I think that was before the
Yeah, it was. They lost last night.
They lost three in a row now.
They lost to Wisconsin last night. That was an upset city. He had Michigan State a 3 seed, the Buckeyes a 4 seed, Michigan a 6 seed. So you're asking me if Ohio State wins out, do they win the Big Ten?
Well, I'm asking you if they win the Big Ten, because if they win out, they obviously win the Big Ten. But if they don't win out, then they may not, depending on what Michigan State does.
Yeah, I don't know.
So my question is, do they win the Big Ten?
They'll need to play better than they did last night if they want to win out.
Yes or no? Yeah or nay?
I'm going to go yeah. They win.
I'm going to say yes, because I think Michigan State will lose at Wisconsin.
Wow, okay.
So, and that will give, even if Ohio State loses, they still have the tiebreaker. They still have the tiebreaker over both Michigan State and Purdue. So if they finish with the same record, then Ohio State will win the Big Ten.
So number 8, Ohio State, they lost last night. Number 6, Purdue, they fell. Joe, your Bearcats, the number 5 ranked Cincinnati Bearcats, they lost at Houston 67-62. Just slip up there.
It was a slip up, but we've talked about it all season long that they don't play well on the road, and that's what happened. They were in Houston, didn't play well, left their offense.
What did they
do
come tourney time? I mean, neutral site games.
I agree, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Mick Cronin needs to find a way to keep that offense rolling for the Bearcats, for them to have any chance at all.
What the Buckeye Gals do, Chris?
I was just going to tell you that the Lady Bucks, the number 16 Lady Bucks, they bounced back after that loss to South Florida on Sunday. And they whooped Illinois 88-69 on Tuesday night. Kelsey Mitchell, 28 points.
Illa Buck.
Yes. Lene Harper added 20 and 12 boards, and she's a guard. They take on Purdue Sunday at 1 o'clock. They are now 21-6 and 10-3 in the Big Ten. They're tied with Nebraska for second behind Maryland, who is 22-4. And 11-2 in the conference.
Very nice. Hey, tonight, a couple of games to look at. Horizon League, if you're into it. Cleveland State hosting Oakland. That's Oakland in Michigan, not all the way there out west. And Youngstown State hosting Detroit Mercy. But the Vikings and the Penguins are like the two worst teams in the Horizon League. So nobody cares. Tomorrow, how about this matchup? Number 3, Villanova at number 4, Xavier. Battle between two top 5 teams.
Wait a minute. Are you rooting for Xavier?
I'm rooting for anybody in Cincinnati.
He just threw up the DMX sign right there. By the way, have you heard DMX is still alive, everybody?
Okay.
Still alive.
I totally bid on that bet. It said he was found, passed away by a house. And I thought it was, he was found, passed away by a house. And I'm like, I thought it said he would passed away in his house. And it wasn't. I bid on it.
You lost.
I totally bid on
it.
I hook, line, and sinkered it. I did.
Fake news.
You still got the
fake
hook
news.
Mouth in your mouth.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
hook
mark in your mouth.
Fake news. Also tomorrow, number 20, West Virginia at number 13, Kansas. Mac action, also known as Maction, tomorrow. Akron at Kent State. Listen, this rivalry, better than the Duke-North Carolina basketball rivalry. It's Akron at Kent State.
Yes.
Both teams aren't that good this year, but still should be a decent game. Ohio hosting Miami of Ohio, Toledo at Ball State. Chris, you already mentioned Sunday, number 8 Ohio State at number 22 Michigan. That's at 1. The Buckeyes win this game despite that ugly loss at Penn State. They keep their top 10 ranking, you think? On the road, ranked team.
Yeah, because another ranked team. Yeah. I think they would keep it.
If they don't, they'll go to like 11 or something.
Hey, by the way, DMX, he's in prison.
Is he?
Yes, he is. That is real news.
That's not fair. Are you sure?
Yes.
Double check.
What's he in jail for?
I don't know.
I'm looking at it. Didn't he sing that song Rough Riders?
What do you mean looking at what?
Looking up DMX.
Yeah, it was the Rough Riders anthem.
No, I was gonna say I was gonna go back to college basketball.
Okay,
weirdos.
Sorry.
Cincinnati has a chance to bounce back Sunday too. They host number 19 Wichita.
This is a tough game.
You can hear the best of DMX right here. No, I'm kidding.
But I think this is a scary game for UC. I think Wichita State's very good. I think in that league, anything can happen. But I think they're at home. Am I right?
That's at home. Although at home, but not at home because they're not in their.
They're on their neutral site, home site.
Yeah,
which is like 20 minutes away across the river. They actually play in Northern Kentucky now.
Right. Couldn't they get their arena done before their season started?
No.
Well, I mean, why though?
Because they're totally renovating the whole thing.
Yeah, but I understand that. But couldn't you do that over the spring and summer?
Start in June.
Instead of Cincinnati is trying to get a soccer team there, and they had to use their Nippert Stadium, which is connected to the basketball arena.
Look at that. And, of course, we know that because we gave you that little info last week.
and it's like down in a bowl. It's just not a good setup to do construction like that. They've been working on it for a while.
Anyway, okay. That's Joe with your Cincinnati.
Been there many a times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember with your Cincinnati infrastructure
Damon,
update.
Remember Damon Flint?
No.
That played at
no, Larry probably, Flint.
Jeez. Just saying. I mean.
I don't know Damon, but I know Larry. Press on.
This was supposed to be a college basketball segment.
Sorry.
Right anyway, now. But Damon Flint, when he was there, he played basketball in Cincinnati. And back in the 90s when the Bearcats were really good under Huggins, they had some good teams. I was there many, many times.
I remember Kmart.
Kmart, yeah. Kenyon Martin. I remember when everybody jumped off the bridge in Cincinnati when he broke his leg in the tournament because they were like the bet. There was nobody beating him that year. They were going to win it all. And he breaks his leg in the conference tournament, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
Hey, you guys think we should give somebody a chance to win something here?
Do we have things to give away?
We do have something to give away, and I'll tell you what. We'll go contest down.
Sweet.
You can either call or text 330-339-9399. It's all the same number. Really? Okay, here we go. Because after the break, we're going to get into NBA stuff. All-Star Weekend, it's here. Slam Dunk Trivia, okay? Want to know from either a caller or a texter. And you guys, don't cheat either of
I'm
you.
I'm not. I don't even have my phone.
But I want to know, in order to win some charge tickets, who won the very first ever Slam Dunk competition? So you guys, call or text. We'll go first one to get us that answer. You'll win some charge tickets to see the Canton Charge. Cavaliers, basically minor league affiliate there in Canton. So I see the wheels turning over there. The G League Gatorade.
It's not the
league.
D League anymore?
It is not.
No, we broke that news too.
But yeah, there you go. Who won the first slam dunk competition? So we'll don't you guys?
I'm not
going to
say
it. We'll give guesses here in a minute. Do you already know it?
No, I got an idea. I think.
Okay.
I have an idea, too. I think it's one of two people. But
yeah, I think I agree. All right, we'll find out.
We're going to take a time out, come back with that answer, and give away those charge tickets after this on Z Country 99.9.
Now, back to Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios, and we had a contest. We asked a question right before we went to break and all that.
Yes, we did.
What is so funny? Oh, no, not
singing?
That.
That was the contest, him singing.
Yeah, that was good.
My voice is all hoarse now.
Can you do that on the air?
No, I can't.
Okay. That was good, though. I like that.
You're welcome.
I'm glad we weren't on Facebook Live, though.
Yes. As am I.
Yes. But we're going to give tickets away to Canton Charge if we can find a
Should
word.
Should I pose the question again?
Pose the question.
Call or text. First one who does so with the correct answer. The charge tickets are yours. First person to win the slam dunk competition all the way back in the 80s is when the first one took place. So we'll hopefully find a winner here soon. First, before all the All-Star stuff, a short week in the NBA, of course, with All-Star Weekend. But a notable game back on Tuesday. Those Cavaliers looking good with those fresh new faces. LeBron had 37, 8, and 8. But the story, Joe and Chris, were those four newcomers, again, combining for 40-plus points. How about Larry Nance? He had 13 points, 9 boards, 3 blocks, couple assists, a steal. Dude was all over the place. LeBron certainly energized and refreshed with this new group, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch them play right now because they have the young energy. The 25-year-olds are out there playing hard, and they're like, man, I get a chance to play with LeBron. I'm going to go out there and give it my all. And I think that's, like you said, Eric, has re-energized LeBron, for one. But I think it's re-energized everyone and the organization.
Yeah, no doubt.
I agree, but they will have their roller coaster ride. They will have a dip in the road. So
everybody's riding
crazy.
High right
they're not going to win the last 30 straight. I mean, just relax. But you see that Larry Nance Sr. wants Junior to wear his retired number 22?
Yeah, he called.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he called Junior the day he got traded. He found out. Well, Junior called his dad to say, "Hey, Dad, I'm coming home. I got traded to Cleveland." And he goes, "Son, I want you to wear 22." And Larry Nance Senior, Junior said, "No, Dad, that's your number. I'll have my own. Thank you."
So he's not wearing it.
No.
Yeah. Hey, we may have a winner if we want to go to the contest line. You guys want to go to it
let's
real
do
quick
it.
In
yep,
the midst of our caller? Who's this?
I'm saying Spud Webb.
Spud Webb, that is overmodulated and incorrect, so I'm sorry. Try again, though, if you can get in. Text, too, if you think you know the answer. That was extremely overmodulated.
I don't know what's up with that. Yeah. But, yeah, we're looking for the winner of the first ever...
First ever slam dunk contest.
Slam dunk contest, and you'll win tickets, a four-pack to the Canton Charge. If you can text us at 330-339-9399 and get in with that answer.
I want to give you guys some numbers here real quick and then ask a question. Okay, since LeBron pretty much knew about this trade, because the organization, it's fact, they let him know the day before all the trades went down, and that was the Minnesota game.
That's what pumped him up. That's why he had a triple-double with the game winner.
Game winner, exactly. Thanks, Joe. 37 points, 15 assists, 10 boards in that game. Very next game, at Atlanta, when they had like seven guys after the trade was completed, another triple-double, 22 points, 19 assists, 12 rebounds. LeBron at Boston during the Boston Massacre. Last Sunday, 24 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Tuesday against Oklahoma City, I told you 37, 8, and 8. What it all boils down to is since he found out about the trade and since it went down, averaging 30 points, 13 assists, and 9.5 rebounds. So I think, indeed, dude is energized. Let me ask you this.
And then all of a sudden the Boston Celtics come out and say, oh, no, we need to change
our lineups. Maybe we should have made a trade. Maybe we should have made a trade.
They're panicking in Boston.
Kyrie Irving. He's making an Uncle Drew film, by the way. Do you guys see that?
No.
It's going to be horrible.
Greg Oden is dad?
Let me ask you this. They made this deal, the Cavs, to obviously probably get younger. But do you think it now maybe entices LeBron to stick around?
I think so, because that Brooklyn pick is getting interesting. They're not doing so hot right now, and you know, they could be in the top five of that NBA draft coming up, and that really could intrigue LeBron to stick around. Right now the Brooklyn Nets are 19-40, and in the conference there's only two teams with worse record, and that's Orlando and Atlanta. So that's only two teams in front of them there. And if you look at the Western Conference, there is only one. Well, there's a four-way tie with 18 losses in the West. So, you know, it's going to be interesting down the stretch to see what happens.
Wednesday night in the NBA, we mentioned the Boston Celtics. Their third loss in a row, that night to the Clippers? Mm-hmm. Was that three in a row? 129-119. DeAndre Jordan, he had 30. Kyrie had 33.
Oh, yeah, they're two games back now.
The Raptors, they're the hottest team in the NBA right now, though. They've won seven in a row. They beat Chicago Wednesday night, 122-98.
Did you also see the tweet that I tagged you in?
The Gordon Hayward.
He's not coming back.
Gordon Hayward is coming back in 2018.
We'll see.
In October when they start next year's season?
He will be back this year.
No, he won't.
I told you.
No, he won't.
Okay, we'll see.
He's just going to re-break
Chris, I don't think it's happening.
It's not a smart move, man.
Okay. I'm just telling you, whether it's smart or not, it's going to happen.
It's gonna hurt them.
A high-scoring game on Wednesday. Damian Lillard, he had 44. Kevin Durant had 50. But Portland beat Golden State 123-117. There were two games last night, but they were garbage games. Nobody really cares. Of course, All-Star Weekend begins. We'll get into all that here shortly. But, folks, we do have a winner, by the way, for our contest. Why are you looking like that right now?
Because he's mad.
About what?
I'm not mad.
He's mad.
No, I'm watching that little kid dribble.
All right, so what are your guesses? First slam dunk contest winner back in the 80s.
You know what? I don't know. I said, you know, it could be Dr. J. It could be George Iceman Gervin. But thinking about it, I also said Larry Nance Sr. And I think I'm going to stick with Larry Nance Sr. I think that's I think that he's the one. I think he might have beat Dr. J in the first one, but I'm going with Larry Nance.
I said Dr. J.
All right. Dr. J was a popular guest, by the way, on the text line. So a caller, Mr. Overmodulation, he said Spud Webb, which is also
a good
one.
He did win one.
Remember Rex Chapman won one, too?
Yeah. Michael, obviously, a couple. Dominique was there. Who was the more recent times?
Aaron Gordon.
Right. Who's the dude who just won it 2 years? Aaron Gordon never won one, I don't think.
I thought he won the year after they put on that spectacular.
No, if you look
at Levine.
Zach Levine, yeah. He was good.
Glenn Robinson III last year, right?
Yeah. I honestly didn't watch it last year.
And Blake Griffin won when he jumped over the car.
You know, it's pretty sad when that's Blake Griffin's most notable career highlight is jumping over a Kia. No, seriously. Yeah. All right, but no, we do have a winner. From the Weaver Appliance text line. And, Joe, you were correct. I think you cheated.
I didn't, I swear.
No, he didn't.
Larry Nance Sr., whose son, Junior,
will win it this year,
is in the slam dunk competition this year. So we'll see. Now, this begs the question. Will Junior bring out Senior to do some sort of stunt? Or
that'd
some
be
sort
really
of,
cool.
I mean, come on now.
That'd be
it
really cool.
It okay. has to happen.
Here's my trivia question for you, McElroy, Mr. Cavs. Okay. What did Larry Nance Sr. do after he retired as a basketball player? That would have been a good question.
Oh, it had something to do with NASCAR or something.
No, you're close.
Oh, Brad Doherty did. Okay.
Yes, Brad Doherty. Doherty still owns a team
right.
That competes in the Daytona 500, a two-car team.
I don't know what Nance do when he...
Larry Nance was a professional drag racer in the NHRA.
Who knew?
He actually drove pro stock for a number of years.
By the way, Joe, that year he won the dunk contest, 84, he was a member of the Phoenix Suns then.
Really?
Obviously went on to be a member of the Cavs. His son, Larry Nance Jr., now a member of the Cavs, who was born in Akron, just like now his teammate, right?
LeBron James.
So they have that in common. But Larry Nance, obviously, like you said, his number hangs in the rafters.
If you think about it, there's a few good NBA basketball players that were born in Northeast Ohio. Larry Nance Jr., LeBron.
Steph.
C.J. McCollum.
The CJ, yeah.
Yeah,
Steph Curry was born
Steph
in Akron.
Curry. That's
an all-star team right there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Seth Curry was. If Steph was.
Jimmy Jackson?
Yeah, sure. Northeast Ohio. I bet Seth Curry was born in Northeast Ohio as well. Is he older than Steph?
You never said who the winner was.
I'm getting a name right now.
Okay.
I think, is Seth older or younger than Steph?
I don't know. That is a younger. Good question. Is he younger? Yeah, I don't know. That's a
the
good
one
question.
Who used to play for the Mavericks, right?
Yeah, he's 27, so he's maybe a couple years younger than Steph.
Yeah, the winner came from the Weaver Appliance text line, by the way. We'll grab a name after that. But first, we want to break and then come back do All-Star stuff.
Yep, we'll take a break, come back, and talk more NBA and All-Star and dunk contest, and we'll pick our winners of the three-point contest as well. After this on Z Country 99.9.
You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy.
Cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68.
I'm waiting for you guys to sing.
I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little dirty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. She's rocking them holy jeans.
We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. We're wrapping up our final segment of the show tonight. Again, big thank you to all the guests that we've had on. Dave Shutt from Garaway. Matt Ward from Tuskegee Valley, and of course, Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Our final segment, we're going to wrap up and talk a little news and notes in the world of sports. Chris Kale?
I'm sorry, I was singing.
I know.
Jason's my boy. All right.
Oh, you know him personally.
He's going to be a blossom in August. Just so
yes,
you know.
I know.
Yep, you should take me. It's my and Susan's anniversary.
Actually, seen him the first time.
Saw him.
Well, I saw him the first time that he came to Ohio. The Stark County Fairgrounds back in the day, and the Poverty Neck Hillbillies opened up for him.
Jeez.
When he just had his first album at the Stark County Fairgrounds.
Just think of
I've
it this
seen
way, Chris.
Jason three times now.
I've never seen him. You have saw him.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right. I've seen him three times. I've saw him three times.
I bet he puts on a good show.
He puts on a great show. Yep, absolutely. All right. Your news and notes for the week that has been the last week. All right, NASCAR.
Good job.
Ohio's Ryan Blaney, of course, up there in Hartford, Ohio.
Yes, yes, yes.
He won the first Can-Am duel over teammate Joey Logano. Rookie Bubba Wallace driving for the King, Richard Petty. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won the last two restrictor plate races and Kurt Busch. In the second duel, Chase Elliott drove the number 9 that his dad made famous to the win over Kevin Harvick, Eric Jones, Clint Bowyer, and Kyle Busch. The Camping World Truck Series is tonight at 7:30. The Xfinity race is Saturday at 2:30, and the 60th Daytona 500 kicks off the NASCAR season on Fox Sunday at 2:30. The Winter Olympics after day number 7. Norway leads in the medal count with 19, Germany 15, the Netherlands and Canada tied at 13, and the U.S. with 8. Tonight, the women's...
5 gold, though, for U.S.
Yes.
5 of them gold.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, of course, in primetime on NBC, the women's Super G, Lindsey Vonn, going for that gold medal in the women's Super G.
That may be worth watching.
Yes. The women's freestyle skiing and the women's skeleton. You know what skeleton is, right?
No.
Skeleton is like luge, only it's head first.
No thanks.
No, it sounds scary and dangerous.
80 mile an hour head first on a sled.
Germany has 9 gold. 9 gold medals. Wow. Yeah.
All right. So, and then this weekend is the men's ski jumping. How about this? 2 men from the United States going to the finals. They haven't won a medal in ski jumping since 1924.
I'm rooting for them.
Yes, absolutely. Right off the bat. One of those two. And then the Cleveland Indians, of course, Danny Salazar. It was announced that he had strained his right rotator cuff back in January during an offseason throwing program. Salazar has thrown just 237 and a third innings over the past 2 seasons because of right shoulder and elbow problems and could start the season on the DL. Of course, he was involved in trade rumors with the Cubs and Red Sox, so maybe starting on the DL. And, of course, Trevor Bauer won his arbitration hearing on February 8th. Bauer will receive $6.5 million this year. Last year, in a breakout season where he went 17-9 with a 4.19 ERA and 196 strikeouts, he made 3.5.
With Cookie out, we'll need Bauer again to have another year like he had.
$3 million hike. I could use that raise.
Hey now, but hey, it's All Star Weekend in Los Angeles. The NBA having their little week long hiatus. Remember, it's a little longer this year too. The whole break. They started the year sooner than they normally do, sort of give the players, some more time off, less back-to-backs this year and everything else as well. But, of course, we all know they did it differently. Still chose the rosters, East versus West. But the top vote-getters from each conference, then got to choose their own players, like a draft. Now, the NHL started doing this mm-hmm. a few years back, right? They yes. kind of adopted this whole thing.
I like it, though.
But you had Team LeBron and Team Steph, and then they each pick their own players. Most notably, LeBron has to play with Kyrie Irving again this coming Sunday mm-hmm. for the All-Star game. So you have guys from each conference all on the same team, which makes for something a little different. You like this new format or no?
I would have liked it even more if all the players wouldn't have got hurt. I think it would have been a really cool game. I do like the format, how they can pick, but I think next year they need to televise the draft.
Oh, yes. My God. Yeah. I mean, where they dropped the ball
that?
This year.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, listen, the players that are on LeBron's team that got hurt, you had DeMarcus Cousins, which was a starter. You also had Kevin Love. He's hurt. John Wall. He's hurt. Porzingis. He's hurt from the Knicks, obviously. And there's one more I thought I was missing. Paul George is not hurt. So there you go. There were the injured folk on LeBron's team. So, anyway, All-Star Game this coming Sunday. Hey, we want to update these polls before we run out of time.
We do.
Okay. All-Star Game festivities, slam dunk or three-point. When it comes to it now in 2018, listen, if somebody would ask this 20 years ago, there'd be no question a slam dunk contest. None. But what about now, though?
Well, now, I'll be honest with you. I really don't watch it much. If I'm home and there's nothing else on, I might watch it, whatever. But, you know, I'm not even...
He's probably taking his mental breather.
Oh, yeah, you do have a break tomorrow, do you? Kick your feet up.
He's
going to
sit back and watch
90210. Where will we be, Joe?
Aren't you? You're going to sit back and watch 90210.
No, I'm actually going to go down and visit Brittany and just hang out. I'm going to watch the Xfinity race.
You call that a mental breather?
Yeah.
Wow. You taking Haley with you?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be fun.
It's still, in terms of entertainment value, it's still slam dunk contest.
Oh,
although it's watered down. 54% of you agree on that.
Yes, tomorrow we will be at the IBC Showcase watching at least the final 3 games of the day with Garaway in the third game from the last, and then Highland, and then Indian Valley Strasburg in the final game. So
yeah, nice list of games. You can see them all up on our Facebook page, too. All right, 3-point contest tomorrow. Who you guys got? Bradley Beal, you have that Booker kid from Phoenix. Joe, you'll be able to see him in like a month or so.
I will.
Eric Gordon, you have Wayne Ellington from the Heat, Paul George, Tobias Harris, Kyle Lowry, and Clay.
Is that Mike's brother?
Mike Lowry. everybody would like to see
I'm
the big names.
Reggie.
Everybody would like. Who's Reggie in there? Ain't no Reggie in there
in the movie.
Oh,
I don't remember that part, but I'm sure you do. I believe you. Yeah. Hey, everybody would like to see the big names of Bradley Beal, Paul George, Klay Thompson, Kyle Lowry. So any of those, I'd be all right with.
I will take anyone but Klay Thompson. I just can't have another Golden State win something. I'm tired.
Makes sense.
I'll say Eric Gordon.
Not a bad pick there. Hey, here we go. Slam dunk competition from your Cleveland Cavaliers for about 10 days. Larry Nance Jr., who, by the way, you know who his dad actually won the first slam dunk contest? Yeah. Did you guys know that? Mm-hmm. Larry Nance Jr., somewhere. Victor Oladipo.
I'm taking Vic.
Are you?
Yeah.
Dennis like Smith Oladipo. Jr., and then Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz, who is a late ad because that dude, Aaron Gordon from the Magic, he's hurt, so he's not going to be in it this year.
And only four guys. I think that's crazy. Remember back in the day, there used to be like 8, 10 guys?
That's way too many.
Four? I mean, really? That's the best they could do?
I mean, I got to go with the Cavaliers.
And you got Victor Oladipo?
And if Larry Nance doesn't bring out his dad, it's a tragedy. Travesty, rather.
I would agree. I think I'm rooting for Larry Nance Jr. just being a Cav, but I think the one guy that I think can run away with this, believe it or not, is Dennis Smith Jr. I think Dennis Smith Jr. can get up with the best of them as a point guard. Victor Oladipo is really good too, though, but I think Dennis Smith Jr. runs away with it.
Larry Nance is, in terms of physical stature, the biggest out of all those folks.
Jaylen Brown would have been good in that contest too.
Is he a dunker, high flyer?
Gordon Hayward would have been good. Oh, never mind. Was that too soon? Sorry.
Wow, okay. Chris or Joe, that is a little too soon. By the way, game, who? Team Steph, Team LeBron, who you got?
Steph.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to take Steph because of all the injuries. I'm going with Steph.
Let me see who's on this team. For Team Steph and Team LeBron.
It's a different kind of cloth that we cut from.
I got to go Team LeBron. I'm not even going to look at it. Team LeBron all day.
I'll be the tiebreaker. And I'm kind of with Chris. I think LeBron would have won if they wouldn't have had all those injuries. I think Team Steph wins, but I'm rooting for Team LeBron.
You know, Team Steph, obviously Steph, Harden, Giannis, Embiid.
Giannis right there. That tells you right there.
LeBron and KD, Kyrie. I mean, that's kind of it.
Imagine that. Kyrie takes the three spot again.
Russell Westbrook, too. You're going to see, how about this? You're going to see Russ and KD on the floor at one point in time. Because the best lineup, not to break it down, but then LeBron and Kyrie on the same team. So. Anyway.
Kyrie will be overshadowed again.
Hey, by the way, our winner was Chad Stalker for those tickets. Congrats, Chadley. You're going to see the Charge.
Well, that wraps up our show this night. Big thank you to Tuskegee Valley Girls Basketball Coach Matt Ward for taking time to talk about the Trojans and their season. Also, thank you to Garaway Coach Dave Shutt for joining us on the show to talk about the Pirates and their season. Also, thanks to Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW for coming on and updating us about the latest in the NFL, college basketball, and Major League Baseball. The biggest thanks go to you, the listener, of course. Every week you tune in here to Big Z Sports Show on 99.9. We couldn't do it without you. Don't forget about our podcast each week, and you can find that on our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports, and on our website, WTUZ.com. Also on Twitter, at @Big_Z Sports. For Chris Kale and Eric McElroy, I'm Joe Geckler. We'll talk to you next Friday, beginning at 6 o'clock, right here on Z Country, 99.9.
WTUZ, Urixville, New Philadelphia.